On his own deathbed, Joseph, according to the Bible, beseeched his brothers, "Pakod yifkod Elokim etchem v'alitem et atzmotai mizeh etchem. God will surely remember you, will surely redeem you, and you shall take my bones from here with you." Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 209, Jewish Jerusalem's Loving Loyalty. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Let us speak of the 35 and the Jews of Gush Etzion. In the months preceding Israeli independence, one of the most besieged and embattled Jewish areas in the Holy Land was the Etzion Block, or Gush Etzion. An attempt to relieve the Jews of that area was made in January 1948 by 35 Palmach soldiers. Along the way, they were surrounded by local Arabs and massacred, their bodies buried at some point in a mass grave in the Jewish cemetery of the area. To this day, they are known as the Lamed Hei, the 35. In May of 1948, the Jews of Gush Etzion, heavily outnumbered by members of the Jordanian Legion, fought valiantly until surrender was the only option. But having surrendered, they were massacred by the Arab forces. Historian Benny Morris tells us that, quote, "The slaughter on May 13, 1948, by Arab militiamen from nearby villages and Jordanian legionnaires of dozens of surrendering Jewish troops in Kibbutz Kfar Etzion was probably the biggest Arab massacre of Jews in the First Arab-Israeli War," end quote. Morris further tells us that 151 died in total, with 127 of those deaths occurring on May 13th, adding that of these 127 Jews, quote, "most were murdered in the center of Kfar Etzion, the core settlement of the block, while surrendering or after they had surrendered," end quote. Benny Morris further tells us that, quote, "David Ben-Gurion later said that the dead of the Etzion block had saved Jerusalem, meaning that they had protected the southern approaches to the city and, for months, had diverted away from the battle for the city considerable Arab manpower," end quote. Thus did 35 Jews of Jerusalem die seeking to relieve Gush Etzion. It is therefore fitting to ponder on this day, Jerusalem Day, all that the Jews of Jerusalem did to honor the Lamed Hei and the massacre Jews of Kfar Etzion in a moment when Jewish Jerusalem became a beacon of love and loyalty. One of the fascinating and heartbreaking discussions in the memoir of Rabbi Shlomo Goren, in 1949 the chief rabbi of the IDF, is his account of his efforts to bring the bodies of those that had fallen in battle beyond Israeli-held territory back into Israeli territory following the end of the War of Independence. One of the striking and shattering inspirations for his efforts was a letter that he received from parents of a fallen soldier, which read, quote, "We are asking you, Rabbi Goren, to deal kindly with the dead and with the living. Bring back our son who fell behind enemy lines and was left there. Bring him back to us so we can bury him so that his grave will be in the state of Israel," end quote. Of course, the desire of these parents to be united with their son's body is fully understandable. And we must also comprehend the striking biblical reference made in the letter. The request to Rabbi Goren was to, quote, "deal kindly with the dead and with the living," end quote. This is a reference to the book of Ruth, where Naomi blesses God, who has not withdrawn his kindness from the living and the dead. Or at least that is one translation of the word chesed. Another is, blessed is God, who has not withdrawn his loving loyalty from the living and the dead. A central theme of the book is what the living owe the dead. And here, a parent was asking Rabbi Goren what the newborn state owed a soldier who had died fighting for that state. And to speak of the chesed, the loving loyalty owed in this context, is also to reference Jacob's request to his son Joseph in Egypt. As he lay dying, father said to son, "V'yasita imadi chesed ve'emet," and you shall do for me chesed, loving loyalty and truth. Do not bury me in Egypt. And Joseph and his brothers, in fulfillment of a vow, bring Jacob's body to the grave of Abraham in the land of Israel, rejoining Jacob to his family. Here, in this letter to Rabbi Goren, parents were asking for a return of a soldier's body to his family. Rabbi Goren made the return of the bodies of soldiers one of his central efforts, and his first focus in this regard was the Lamed Hei, the 35, and the other massacred and fallen Jews of Gush Etzion. As Rabbi Goren tells us, he was in this case initially unsure as to the right course of action, as the 35 were buried in a mass grave in a Jewish cemetery. But he writes, quote, "finally I called a meeting with the Council for Soldiers' Commemoration, which was headed by Rabbi David Shag, a dear and dedicated Jerusalemite, whose son was among the Lamed Hei. The council members asked the former residents of Gush Etzion if they wanted to leave the cemetery in its place or transfer it, but even among them there were proponents for both options. The council eventually took a vote and decided to relocate all the graves in the Kfar Etzion cemetery and to transfer the civilians to civilian cemeteries and the soldiers to military cemeteries. As yet, there were no designated and consecrated military cemeteries, and no clear policy had been formulated regarding where and how to establish them. The whole subject was still in its infancy. Thankfully, the Jerusalem Ceasefire Council had obtained a permit for me to cross the ceasefire line and go to Kfar Etzion to start transferring the bodies. End quote. Thus did Rabbi Goren prepare to go to the Jewish cemetery in Kfar Etzion, the village of Etzion, one of the central Jewish areas of Gush Etzion. Rabbi Goren further tells us that, quote, the official crossing point from the Israeli side to the Jordanian side of Jerusalem was at Mandelbaum Gate. All the tourists and diplomats passed through this point on their way to and from Jordan, and the road led toward the road to Hebron. It soon turned out, however, that the Jordanians objected outright to my passing through Mandelbaum Gate. The only option they agreed to was my passing by way of the village of Husan, near Bethlehem and Mivaot Beitar. The journey via that route was very difficult, end quote. Rabbi Goren goes on to describe in an incredible fashion how, having been brought to a technical border, he then faced a no-man's land that he had every reason to think could be filled with mines. Uttering a prayer, he crossed over and journeyed to the Kfar Etzion cemetery and brought back the bones of massacred Jews with him. Ultimately, his efforts extended to several different regions, including the bringing back of the bodies of Jews from the larger Etzion area and Latrun. The time had come to bury these Jews in Jerusalem. But where? Rabbi Goren writes further, quote, an in-principle decision was made to open a military cemetery on Mount Herzl, near Theodor Herzl's grave. We felt there was a connection between the two, and Herzl's grave was already located there. We began planning the cemetery and the burial ceremonies. Some council members opposed our choice of this location and argued that we had to find a different site. I told them this was a very respectable place and would be a site that belonged to the whole Jewish people. I was therefore in favor of consecrating the mountainside near Herzl's grave in Jerusalem as Israel's first military cemetery. My proposal was accepted, end quote. Thus did one rabbi cross over the border of a divided Jerusalem to bring back Jewish bodies to the area where Jews lived in Jerusalem. Thus did the burial site of fallen soldiers, visited to this day by so many on Memorial Day, come into being. Through this great exhibition of longing, loyalty, and love of Jewish Jerusalemites for their fellow Jews, an act of love and loyalty which consecrated the cemetery on Mount Herzl. For what followed in Jerusalem on that mountain was one of the most striking funerals in Jewish history. Rabbi Goren writes, quote, when we finished collecting the remains of all the soldiers in Gush Etzion and the Latrun area, we decided to arrange a funeral. I wanted to arrange their burial as soon as possible, because even though the bones were in closed coffins, they were in a storage facility and had not been accorded proper funeral rites, a matter that should not be delayed. We decided on a mass funeral in Jerusalem, where we would bring all the coffins for burial in several mass graves and a few individual graves. The newspaper accounts of the funeral reported that over 60,000 people accompanied the soldiers on their final journey. This was the first mass funeral held for soldiers whose remains had been brought from behind enemy lines and buried in the military cemetery on Mount Herzl. The procession left from the plaza outside the Jewish Agency building, where the fallen were eulogized by myself and Chief of Staff Yigal Yadin. The entire Jewish population of Jerusalem was represented at that funeral, from one end of the political religious spectrum to the other. People later told me that if the military rabbinate had been formed for no other purpose than to organize that funeral and bring the fallen back from behind enemy lines, it would have been worthwhile. End quote. On his own deathbed, Joseph, according to the Bible, beseeched his brothers, Bakod yifkod Elokim etchem v'alitem et atzmotai mizeh etchem. God will surely remember you, will surely redeem you, and you shall take my bones from here with you. The striking implication linking the bringing of Joseph's bones with the prior bringing of Jacob's body to the land of Israel seems to be that the bringing of Jacob's body to the Holy Land, that act of loyalty and love by Joseph and his brothers, set the stage for the Exodus, for the miraculous redemption yet to come. And in modern Israel, the burial of these Jews and the love and loyalty shown by Jerusalem's Jews can be seen as one of the great acts that set the stage for the redemptive miracles that were to follow. All of Jerusalem turned out to show loyalty to the bodies of their brethren brought into the borders of the state of Israel and into the borders of the part of Jerusalem held by Israel. Today, on Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, we remember the moment of the Six-Day War when the dividing point in Jerusalem ceased to exist, the moment when the borders of Jerusalem held by Israel expanded dramatically. And in that miraculous war, it was not only Jerusalem to which the Jews returned, but to the Etzion area as well. Today, flourishing Jewish communities in the area of the Gush, in Efrat, Alon Shvut, Neve Daniel, and more, Jews have built thriving communities. Jews have returned to ancient Jerusalem, and Jews have returned to Gush Etzion. We give gratitude to God for the miracles of our age, and we join in remembering the loyalty shown by the Jews of Jerusalem to those who did not live to see the miracles of our moment, to those that the Jewish people owes so much. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together next week, wishing you a joyous and meaningful Yom Yerushalayim and a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.